This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer. It's all about living your best life.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. I'm Poonam Verma. Today, I talked to Dr. Jose about pets and vets, and we also talked about acupuncture for pets. Also, Danny Gray has created a brand new makeup wear just for men. He joins us live from the UK. We're also talking to Pavito, who says men wearing makeup and skincare is absolutely fine. Now, if you want to know where you can travel over the holidays, we get the latest travel updates from Donata. And also, we talk tech talk and gadgets with Dinesh.
Pets and Vets.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
In association with Royal Canin, the animal before the owner.
So I'm now joined by Dr. Jose Botte of the Modern Vet Clinic. Dr. Jose, how are you feeling? I hear you're on 24-hour call. Are these animals very demanding?
Yeah, indeed. Hello, Poonam. So nice to be here again. Thank you so much for your invitation.
Are you tired today?
Not particularly. No, it was a nice day. I had very nice patients, very nice pets. No, it's always good when we have some get some love back, a couple of leaks. And the tail waggings, it's always good.
Oh, that's nice to hear. So we're going to be talking, if anybody's got any questions about their pets, please do text us on 4001. Dr. Jose is here to answer anything that you have. I wanted to just bring up recently a situation in the news where a two-year-old dog died when she was left inside a hot car for 7 hours by a daycare company. I know that what I do know is dogs eliminate heat from their bodies by panting, unlike us who sweat it off. So can you talk about that, and what advice would you give pet owners when it comes to this heat?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is a vital topic to discuss during this time of the year here in the UAE. Sadly, it's something that we see quite often, and it doesn't require as much as 7 hours inside a hot car, you know. It's absolutely tragic what happened to that dog, but we have situations. I had a recent one with a dog that walked for 15 minutes outside in the evening and passed away with a heat stroke.
What?
You know?
Are you serious?
15 minutes out in the evening. So depending on the breed, as you were saying, dogs do not sweat like us. They don't have sweat glands except in the footpads. So they lose weight heat by panting, by convection through the air that they exhale. And it's not a very effective mechanism, particularly if you have an obese pet or if you have a brachycephalic flat-faced dog, you know, for example, bulldogs, yeah. Boxers, pugs. Those dogs are very inefficient in dissipating heat, and the temperatures here are really not suitable for them. So during the summer, short toilet walks, you know, out, pee-pee, poo-poo, back in as quickly as possible. Really avoid keeping them outdoors. A lot of people aren't aware of this, but even with temperatures of just 21 degrees, there's a risk of a heat stroke if a dog is left inside the car. Mm. A recent study conducted from Stanford University realized that within 1 hour, the temperature inside the car can raise almost 5 degrees. Mm. You know, so if the dog is at risk of having a heat stroke with temperatures of 21 degrees, imagine here, we literally cannot leave the car, the dog's unattended for 5 minutes inside the car, you know, absolutely not.
You know, it's funny because when the dogs are really lively and the weather's good, I always see the dogs ahead of the owner. Yesterday, I saw two little dogs. They were walking behind the owner, panting. It was so hot. So in a situation like this, let's say if you're going to take your dog for a walk, would you advise somebody first giving them a lot of water before they go, or stopping outside, giving them water on and off, or just keeping it to a minimum walk, like you said?
I would say a bit of everything, you know, so make sure the dog is well hydrated before going out, and keep the walks to the shortest possible. You know, it's really not the time to be playing outdoors and for long walks. What you said of the dog walking behind the owner is a clear sign that the dog is exhausted, you know, and doesn't want to walk any longer. And if possible, whenever possible, just bring water with you and offer periodically so they can stay hydrated. But again, you know, it's not the time for walks. Dogs should only go outside to do their toilet business and go straight back in, regardless of the breed. Of course, certain breeds are more at risk, but still, it's way too hot for long walks at this time of the year, okay?
If anyone out there thinks my dog might be, like, overheated, are there any symptoms they need to look out for?
So absolutely, the first thing you have to keep an eye out is for their breathing. If the dog starts panting excessively and their tongue starts turning blue, if their mucous membranes, so the tongue and the gum, start looking bluish, that's a really big sign of alarm. The first thing to do if you believe your dog is overheating is removing him immediately from the place where that's happening. You know, take him to the shade, remove him off the car, wherever he is, just put him in a cooler place. You can direct a fan at him, and you can start cooling him down with wet towels placed on the neck, on the groin area, on the armpits. You can also direct a fan towards those areas. You can even wet the ear flaps. It's a nice area to lose temperature. Whenever possible, measure the rectal temperature. Okay, just put a thermometer in the anus and try to record the temperature, because that's vital information for the vets. And rush them to the clinic, okay? Even if the dog is not collapsed yet, if there's the slightest sign that they may have overeaten, it's better to have them checked. So whenever possible, just take them straight into a clinic.
Okay, so in the news recently, Abu Dhabi police have warned the public to be wary of online adverts offering pets for sale or adoption. Have you read this story? There are a lot of fraudsters out there.
Yes, sadly, this keeps happening, and even before it was on the news, it was something that the veterinary community was aware. A lot of our clients get scammed. It's sad, you know, it's very sad, but it's also a very good reminder that there's other ways of getting a pet, you know, and namely adoption. We do have a lot of fantastic rescue associations here in the UAE that do a tremendously good job. There's all sorts of pets out there looking for a family, even for people who want a specific type of breed for any given reason, you know, for character or due to their size or whatever, you know, there are pets that are usually available for adoption and need a family. Those pets have been checked by vets. Most of the times, the associations ensure that they're vaccinated and neutered, etc. I would always advise people to avoid purchasing animals online. You know, don't contribute to this type of business. We don't know the conditions the animals are kept, and in a way, we are fueling a business that preys on the weakness of people, and a lot of times on animal abuse as well. So, whenever possible, as we like to say, adopt, don't shop.
Yeah, I completely agree. Everybody I know here has adopted a pet, but growing up in England, we just would shop. But now it's a big thing. I would definitely recommend that. Loads of my friends have done that. So apparently we can tell what kind of mood a cat is in. A technology company has developed an app called Tabli that uses the phone's camera to tell whether a feline is feeling pain. It looks at their ear, head position, eye narrowing. Is this something that you would use? Would it help you, Doc?
I think it's a fantastic new invention. It's the developers said it was mostly directed towards newly grad vets that maybe don't have as much experience in assessing pain in cats. You know, pain can be very subjective, even in humans, so it's not an easy thing to assess a lot of times. So I think it's a very invaluable tool, not only for vets, but for humans. You know, imagine, for example, your dog had a surgery and he's at home and you don't know if he's comfortable or not. You can, or your dog, your cat in this case, sorry. You can always use that app to see if there's any indication of pain that you need to relate to your veterinarian, you know, to increase the medication for pain relief. Or if your cat is just overall not looking well, you know, if there's any changes in the behavior, in the toilet habits, in the eating habits, etc., it can be a tool to understand if there's something wrong, if the cat may be in pain or not. So I think it's a very interesting invention.
You know, I grew up with dogs, and I've always been a dog person, never been a cat person. But I have to say, the cats in Dubai are extremely friendly. I have no idea why. Wherever I go, they just sit on my lap if I'm sitting outside. Who are your favorite clients? If you had to choose an animal, what would be your favorite client?
I don't know. It's a very difficult question, but I was a dog person myself, like you. I always had dogs and grew up mostly around dogs. And here I got myself a cat for the first time.
Yes.
An Abu Dhabi special. So found in the streets of Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic, fantastic companion. I mean, she's not the sweetest cat, not a proper lab cat, but she's really friendly, really cuddly as well when she wants.
Yeah.
And she really dramatically changed my view of cats. I have pets, clients, patients of mine that are cats that love coming to the vet, which is insane. You know, most cats are terrified of coming to the vet, and they get absolutely they get super nervous, sometimes even aggressive, you know?
Yeah.
And here, some street cats from Abu Dhabi and Dubai are as friendly as you can possibly imagine.
Oh, so friendly.
And rubbing against you in the clinic. It's crazy.
I know. I'm not scared of stroking cats here at all. They're so cute. Whereas if I go abroad, like in England and America, they just scratch my feet. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I don't know what it is with the cats here. Okay, so we have a text from Aaliyah. She says, my Labrador puppy is 5 months old, but seems to be very low in energy. And I'm wondering if there's something wrong. She does sleep a lot, very chilled out for a puppy. She likes to go for a walk, but not too far, and likes to play, but not too much. So, and she does enjoy playing with other dogs, but is not destructive at all. Is she just lazy, or is there just something wrong with her?
Hopefully she's just lazy, but I would advise, if possible, to have her checked by a vet, because at that age, a Labrador specifically should be crazy, you know, should be a dog that's all over the place and bursting with energy. We do, unfortunately, see relatively often congenital heart disease in Labradors.
Okay.
And those are precisely the signs. It's a dog that usually has reduced energy levels, that doesn't want to play as much, that doesn't have the capacity to go on long walks. They may also strive a bit slower than the rest of the litter. So if the puppy isn't particularly big or isn't growing very fast, that can also be an indication that something may be wrong. Hopefully it's just due to the weather as well. With hot weather, they obviously have lower energy levels. But I think it's worth to have it checked, just in case there's something there that we can and should be addressing.
Well, if you've got texts or any questions you want to ask Dr. Jose about your pets, he is here with us for at least another 15 minutes. You can text us on 4001. You can also contact us on the ARN app or call 04871 5500. Dr. Jose, I had my first ever dog when I was a kid, and we didn't know anything about dogs then. And we used to feed him on and off Kit Kats, normal, you know, chocolate. It's only now I found out that they shouldn't be given normal chocolate. Is that right?
Absolutely.
But can I tell you,
chocolate is highly toxic for dogs.
But I don't know what happened with him. He was the most hyper dog, and he lived till 15 years. So I think it did him some good.
Well, look, a little bit of chocolate is not necessarily toxic, but it depends on the weight of the dog, the amount of chocolate, and the type of chocolate. Dark chocolate being the most toxic, and white chocolate the least one. But considering it's toxic, it's always better to avoid, you know, even the smallest amount.
Well, I think he's a greedy pig like me, so he can take anything in his stomach. Pets and Vets.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
In association with Royal Canin, the animal before the owner.
So Dr. Jose is on a 24-hour call. He has me on call right now for the next 10 minutes, so he can't do anything. Dr. Jose, we've got a text from Rhonda. She says, my guinea pig really likes cat food, dry cat food, that is, with 85% chicken salmon content. And he only gets to my cat's bowl when I let her do runabouts in the kitchen. But I do wonder about this desire of carnivorous food. So far, I've stopped her from eating more than a few nibbles, but she fights to get back to the bowl. Any ideas why?
Difficult to say. Pets can be funny sometimes in their likes and tastes, but I agree that you should try to avoid, because it's not an ideal diet for a guinea pig. They're herbivorous animals. Their diet should mostly be fiber, so ensure that she's eating lots of hay, that there's hay always available. And as much as possible, do prevent her from eating cat food. I suppose a bit of kibble here and there, it's probably not going to harm her, but it's not ideal, certainly not ideal.
Okay, so I have a question which I find really interesting. My sister got a dog from a breeder, and the breeder was a naturopath. She brought these puppies up in a naturopathic way. So now my sister does the same with the food. And my sister even said to me, if I'm correct, and I remember this correctly, the dog hasn't had vaccines, but she sprays like a naturopathic spray on the paws when she takes him out for a walk. Is it good to bring up dogs this way?
Look, I'm a bit skeptical, to be honest. You know, I'm a scientist, and I try to only practice what's called evidence-based medicine. So my advice to my clients is always something that has been proven by science, by studies to support it, as I don't like to treat my animals as lab rats, you know, so I don't do experiments on them. But I believe at the end of the day, it's the right of every owner to decide how to raise their pets and how to feed them and how to care for them. However, it's important to remember that we almost eradicated a lot of very serious infectious conditions that in a lot of times can be deadly due to vaccination of our pets and humans as well. If you think about it, in Europe, it's very rare that we see parvovirus and cat flu and a bunch of other conditions that we still see here in the Middle East and in other regions where vaccination hasn't been done for such a long time, and we still have a large population of unvaccinated animals. And that's clearly due to vaccination. So I believe as much as possible, people should try to follow veterinarian advice and keep their animals up to date with their jabs and all prophylactic treatments.
So on the news the other day, I saw a lion, I don't know which country it was in, got COVID. So they had to isolate this lion from the rest of the pride. Have you come across any animals in this situation?
So far not, which is good. I did have to test a few animals for COVID, for travel requirements. A few countries have been requesting COVID testing for pets to allow them to enter, and so far all the animals I tested came back negative. I think it's almost anecdotal, the few cases that we've been seeing in animals, so it's really not a concern for public health, and owners should definitely not worry about their animals getting COVID and passing it to them. If something the opposite may be true, we may eventually pass it on to our pets, but do not worry that your pet may be a vehicle of transmission of COVID in the family. Absolutely no risk of that happening, I believe.
Okay. So Saba says that she got a little kitten very recently and realized that it had fleas. So she went and bought some shampoo and a flea comb. And after bathing the little kitten, she realized on the bottle it says you can only use it on cats that are 12 weeks and up. So is that going to be a problem? She's freaking out a little bit. Is it too strong for the kitten?
No, it shouldn't be an issue. So most of those products have that that label because they only test it on animals that are 12 weeks or older, or sometimes 8 weeks or older. Mm. It's not necessarily dangerous. Depends on the amounts used. But insecticides, if something they can cause signs of intoxication, that's cause the cat to drool. Sometimes they get incoordinated. They may eventually even develop seizures. So if she finds anything abnormal, just bring the cat straight into the vet. So otherwise, what she can do is to make sure that she rinsed well all the insecticide shampoo. So if necessary, just wash the cat again with water to remove anything left. Drying well, of course, afterwards. Make sure that the kitten dries well after the bath. But it shouldn't be a problem. There are, however, products that are formulated and prepared for kittens that young, so it may be a good idea to ask in a veterinary pharmacy or a veterinary clinic if they have anything available for the kitten.
Okay, so Naya says, I recently adopted a dog whose family went back to their home country, but the dog seems very down, very depressed. How long will it take him to warm up to her? What can he do just to cheer her up? Because he's feeling very sad and he's looking sad.
No, I can imagine the poor guy. It's difficult for dogs to adjust to a new family. Dogs can create very, very strong bonds with their owners, as we do with them. Lifelong bonds most of the times. That doesn't mean that they cannot learn to love someone else, and they will. They do in time. I think just need to be patient with him. There's a few things out there to help manage stress in dogs. There's a range of pheromone products from Beafar, for example, which is available in the UAE. I think it's called Cani Comfort. It's a diffuser you can use in the house that should help. There's also some nutritional supplements like Calmise and Zilkin. Those are all products that can help, and they are usually sold over the counter because they're not proper medication. They're nutritional supplements. But mostly, I think she just has to spend time with him, make him feel safe, respect his limits, don't impose too much on the dog. You know, sometimes we want to cuddle and we want to play and they don't. We shouldn't force them, should as much as possible wait for them to approach us and not the other way around. But I'm sure with time they're going to build a beautiful and lasting friendship. It just takes a bit of time sometimes.
Yeah, and you're right. Dogs are very flexible because back at home, I had a family I grew up with next door, and they moved house and moved business, and the dog stayed in this business. And three different families owned him. They spoke three different languages, and this dog learned how to speak those three different languages when he was told dinner time, walks, sit down. So they will adapt eventually. They're just like us.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're very flexible and they will adapt. The only thing a dog needs is love. That's their sole purpose of existence. Yeah. We just have to love them as much as possible, spoil them rotten, and they will adapt. They will be happy. There's really no dog that can't be happy. I don't believe in broken dogs. I think that with the right amount of love and attention, all dogs will be happy with whoever looks after them.
I think that's all what we need. We just need some love and attention and we're all happy as humans and animals. I just got a text saying, I love this segment every Wednesday. I make sure to listen so I can be my cats at home. Oh, that's very nice. So Dr. Jose, I'm going to let you go. I know you're on 24-hour call. I really appreciate your half an hour that you spent with us. And I could never be a vet because I would take every one of those pets home. I fall in love with them very quickly.
No. It's a temptation.
It is a temptation.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's always nice to be here and see you soon, hopefully.
Yeah, go and get some sleep if you can, okay, Dr. Jose?
Cheers, will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pets and Vets.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
In association with Royal Canin, the animal before the owner.
Now, we've all heard about acupuncture for humans. I've used it myself personally, but now we're going to talk about acupuncture, but this time for animals. I am now joined by Dr. Renata Micah. She works at Modern Vet here in Dubai. Hello, Dr. Renata. How are you doing today?
Hello. How are you? I'm good today.
Great. Now, let's talk about acupuncture. Now, first of all, it's considered an holistic therapy. How do you describe the word holistic to people?
The term holistic came from the Greek word holos, which is meaning all or entire body. In this idea, body should be viewed as a whole, not as a collection of organs. So rather than focusing on specific organs, we'll consider reaction with environment, nutrition, family relationship, stress level, and other factors which may cause the illness. Normally, traditional approach is based on diagnostic procedure like the blood work, radiographs, ultrasound. And based on this, we made diagnosis and then we apply the protocol treatment. So actually the best is combination of both, like traditional and holistic treatment. So let's say, like, for example, if you have a bone fracture, then you have to go for traditional treatment, which will be the surgery to fix it. And then we can apply homeopathy, laser to speed the healing, and then physio, acupuncture, which will help us with the movement.
Now, I'm a massive advocate of holistic health because I've used it my whole life and I've used acupuncture like so many other people out there. Now, I know acupuncture has been around a long time for us humans. Have they always been used on animals back in the day, or is this quite a recent thing?
It's quite recent. And I think also the same like in Dubai. Before, when I used to, I have one patient for 2 weeks maybe. And then now, since the more people are aware of the acupuncture treatment, like this week, I have every day 3 sessions maybe with the animals. So it actually became very popular.
So how does acupuncture actually work? Tell everybody. What does it work on?
Actually, the Western explanation is that during when we apply the needles, we cause microtrauma. And then we trick the brain. So the brain will respond the same way and it will release like there is a big trauma. And we release all the substance like the which cause sedation, relaxation, pain, relief. And this is how the treatment works.
But it also goes towards the meridians, am I right? The energy points.
Yes, exactly. So there is the acupuncture points are located on meridians and there is 12 meridians channels. And on them is around 365 points. And the most of the points are located where is the nerve endings and the capillaries are located.
So you just mentioned humans, we have 365 points. Is that what you just said?
Yes, even over.
So yeah. So what about animals? I mean, I'm assuming they have different meridian points, yes?
No, actually they are the same. So of course they walk on the floor. So they started from the nose and then they go along the body through to the back legs and they're coming back symmetrically on the both sides of the body. but they're similar, so I can apply the human point on animal the same way.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so now as humans, you know, I know a lot of people who are so scared of needles and they don't want to go anywhere near acupuncture. I usually close my eyes when it's happening. How do you cope with a nervous animal? Because they can't express themselves.
Well, it's actually funny that we were told that if in human acupuncture, some of the people, they have phobia with needles, so we cannot do acupuncture on them. But with animals, they actually... They're nervous, so they will react differently. So when I started, the dogs, they quite relaxed, so it's easier to apply the needles on them. Mm. But cats are more difficult. So the first, I started with the light sedation, but then we moved to oral medication to calm them, and it actually works. And now we treat them with the food. So as we give them food, they forget about the pain, and then we put the needles, and they more relaxed and calmer after that.
Oh, yeah. Food would work for me, too, I have to say. So tell everybody, what can you treat animals with by using acupuncture?
Actually, the most of my patients are the elder animals with the arthritis and then pain. Mm. Now we have quite many cats paralyzed with the problem with the back legs after car accident or fall down.
Okay.
But most of my patients are with the neurological problem and with the pain.
Okay, I get it.
Pets and Vets.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
In association with Royal Canin, the animal before the owner.
We're back again with Dr. Renata Micah, who is an acupuncturist, but for animals. Have your animals ever had it? Would you ever consider doing it on your pets? We've had some great results. We're going to be talking, carrying on with Dr. Renata Micah, who's going to give us some tips about, you know, how it can help your animals and some of the things that she has treated animals with acupuncture. Now, Dr. Renata, what kind of results have you seen and how successful has acupuncture been on a lot of the animals you've treated?
Okay, so one of my first patient was a old female dog with acralic granuloma. So this is kind of condition, skin condition, which happened because of the compulsive leaking, and the skin became very inflamed and usually happened on the front paws. So in her case, it was very, very severe inflammation, and a part of that, the dog was very nervous. So we could only work on her with when she was in collar. Mm. And I think we've done maybe 7-8 sessions. And I was actually not so looking forward because I thought that there would be not really improvement. And she stopped coming. So she came back after 4 months maybe, and then I look at her legs and they were really looking good.
Oh, wow.
So that's why the owner didn't come back, because actually she got better.
Well, that's another thing with a lot of holistic treatments, like I've used, you know, homeopath and acupuncture. Once they've got to the core of it, generally you don't need to come back. But for an animal, is there a time, you know, how often do they need to come, at least for the first few sessions, do you think? Or is it dependent on the condition?
Depend on condition or on improvement. So usually if it's more chronic condition, that it will take longer. Like I have now one patient that actually comes every week, every 2 weeks, and it keeps her going. It's an old pack, 14 years old, and she has a weak back leg, so we apply the needles. Mm. Something also very interesting that I came across last time is the aqua acupuncture. So together with the needles,
yeah,
I will inject vitamin B12. And actually, in this case, the owner could see that she's doing much better.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that one before.
And what is also interesting, then the owner, after seeing that his dog is much better, then he went himself for acupuncture. So he's doing also for himself now, believe.
There you go. Yeah, it does work. Honestly, I've used it for my back. Okay, now, can you do acupuncture on any animal? And I'm talking lizards, camels, rats, anything.
No, someone requested last time to do on rabbit, but I was a little bit scared because the way they can react. So, yes, I do actually on human, on my friends, on myself even, but mostly on dogs and cats.
mostly on dogs.
And when we were actually studying, then we were practicing on horses.
Oh,
I could do. Yeah.
And how horses is it? How is it on horses? I mean, do they react quite well to it?
If the horse is very nervous, and of course, rather we cannot. But if it's a calm animal with the person who's taking care, then yes, we can apply some needle, and also it works really well.
Do you know, holistic treatments are becoming very popular with animals, because my sister bought a puppy a year ago, and the breeder bought the puppies up she's a naturopath. So she bought them up in a very holistic way, the food they eat. When they go out, because they haven't had vaccines, she sprays like a holistic spray on them to stop them from getting germs. Is this the way we should be bringing up animals, or is that going a little bit too far?
I think a little bit too far.
I'll tell my sister. Yeah.
Rather, we have to stick to very good diet and at least vaccinate them, and then make sure that they have, like for cats, we have the something to scratch the area, something to run, something to play around.
Yeah.
So we have to give them the place what they have normally.
Yeah.
No. Environment.
Yeah, I think you still have to treat, you know, the animals like the animals. I treated my dog like my dog, it was my baby, but I didn't over pamper him like my sister's doing. So what would you say to people who say holistic treatments are quite expensive? My opinion on that is, with holistic treatments, once the cure has been found and you're treated, you don't keep going back. So for me, I think it's worth it. What would you say?
Yes, I think it's worth it too, especially with the condition, like a chronic condition, like obesity, the arthritis, the renal, thyroid, and especially pain and neurological. Instead of, like, I have yesterday I have a patient that it was young, 1-year-old dog, and then it came suddenly, showed the neurological problem. And instead of giving painkiller steroid, we started with the session, and I'm pretty sure that he's doing much better today.
Amazing. So if people want to come and try acupuncture, where can they find you, Dr. Renata?
Please welcome to come. We are located on Alwasser Road. So the cost of the session is 315. And on the top of that, we need to assess first, so there will be consultation on the top of it.
Okay, Dr. Renata, thank you so much for joining us. That was Dr. Renata. If you want to try acupuncture on your animals, head out to the Modern Vet on Alwasser Road in Dubai.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Well, what can I say? I'm so happy right now because I'm about to talk to Danny Gray. I sent him a message about 2 hours ago. He is live on air with us in the next minute. Let me explain a little bit about this man. He has created a brand called War Paint for Men. They opened their first store in London, and he's with me now. Danny, how are you?
Bruna, thank you very much for having me on. I'm very well, thank you.
I am so glad that you said yes, and I know I sent the message so last minute, but my producer, by the way, guys, you can watch Danny right now live on Facebook. He is on. You can watch this interview live. He's going to be with us for the next 15 minutes. My producer said Danny is on and he looks flawless.
I'll take that. That's very kind. Thank you.
Where did you grow up, Danny?
So I grew up just outside London in a little place called Chalfont St Giles, which is just outside the M25. So
okay.
A London boy. Really.
Yeah, I'm a Birmingham girl, so I was trying to figure out where you're from. So let's go back a little bit, right? Before, we're talking about men wearing makeup. Now, when you look, there are so many male influencers, so many male makeup artists. Yours basically started quite a long time ago when you were getting bullied. Is that right?
That's correct. So, look, when I was 12 years old, my ears used to be, I'm showing you on the screen now, but yeah, they used to be right angles to my head. And when I was 12, just for a couple of weeks, I got bullied by a couple of lads. Mm-hmm. Only for a couple of weeks, but look, that really affected my confidence. I started obsessing about the way I looked. So I actually had a couple of operations on my ears very quickly to pin them back. But because of that, I started obsessing about the way I look, so much so that I have something called body dysmorphia now, which is a mental illness where you obsess about the way you look. But getting to 13, 14, I got spots, but not acne, but just a few spots. But for me, that was a massive deal. So I turned to my sister, who gave me a little bit of concealer. And honestly, I couldn't believe the power of a product and the amount of confidence it gave me. So I've been wearing makeup now pretty much every day for the last 20 years, and it really gives me confidence and helps me manage my mental health illness.
So you currently still have this disorder?
Correct, yeah. I don't think I'll ever get rid of it, but look, I've learned to manage it a lot better. And it's not just hiding behind makeup. I've also sorted out the mental side with how I treat myself. But for me, all I want to do is give men a choice about using tools to help them deal with things. And if it is wear makeup, then that's why I created the brand. But it's been a real help for me.
But I'm glad that it's helped you, because I know for women, a lot of us, you know, feel a bit dull today, put a bit of powder, a bit of blusher, and it makes us feel good. And then there is that obsession where my cousin at one point, she would never leave the house unless she had makeup on. So you have, there has to be a balance in it, right? Do you wear it every day because of how you feel, or because you really enjoy it now and you like it?
Yeah, look, I totally agree as well. I don't think you should depend on makeup, but I think it's a really good tool to use and have it as an option. So I don't use it every single day, but most days I do, because, and the thing is, for me, it only takes me 5 minutes to do my makeup routine. And it's just, it's about evening up my skin tone. If I've got any blemishes, spots or scarring, or, you know, you get a bit of rosacea or redness, just to be able to use a product really quickly and easily, for me, is just a really nice thing to be able to do. And the other thing for me is, if you know you've got a solution, right, that you are comfortable in using, especially as a guy, if you do come out in spots or break out in acne, like, all I want to do is create a choice so guys know they have something to maybe cover that up. Not that I have to use it every day, but knowing you've got an option can really help you in terms of confidence. So that's all we're trying to do with War Paint, is give men a choice.
Now, Danny, I mean, I grew up watching the people like, you know, The Cure, Prince, David Bowie, all these people in the industry, they'd wear eyeliners. I know that your maternal grandfather was Iranian, so they would wear like eyeliner. So, and me being Indian, we have a thing called kajal where the young boys would wear it. So it wasn't out of, you know, place when I grew up. But what I think is amazing with you is you started this, like, I think in a bedroom or somewhere in 2018. You had the first ever men's makeup counter in a department store in the world, which led to the brand going viral. It's only been 3 years. Are you really surprised about the success?
Look, I'll be honest, I have to pinch myself every day. You know, I, as you mentioned, I started this brand just under 3 years ago, and it was me, one other in a flat. And look, I thought there was a big demand for it, but I didn't realise it would go this well. And I'm very grateful, because I look forward to going to bed every night, because I look forward to getting up in the morning. I feel very privileged to be in that position. But all look, I've not created the men's makeup space, men have been wearing makeup, and maybe they've been doing it like behind closed doors or speaking to their partners, being like, I don't feel great, and using their makeup. Like years ago, men wore makeup all the time, every day. And when you talk about Bowie and all of those, that was more, they were using makeup to accentuate and express themselves, right? Well, with War Paint, what I'm trying to do is about simple products used in a really simple way where it's not noticeable. So no one really knows that I'm wearing makeup, but it makes me feel better. Okay. And that's the whole thing with what we're trying to do with War Paint. It's not big lipstick, big eyeliners. It's really simple products about evening out the skin tone to make you feel comfortable and confident. And potentially most of the time, it's not noticeable for people. So it's about making you feel better rather than doing it for anyone else. And it's very similar to for that for women. You know, a lot of them wear makeup themselves because of how it makes them feel.
So growing up, I'm trying to imagine growing up in London, being around the boys, the lads, what did they think about this when you started? Did you tell them? Did you share it with them?
Not at the beginning, but look, I think you know who your friends are because they just want you to do anything that you want to do to make yourself feel comfortable. So my mates were amazing with it. And look, it was so unnoticeable, as I said before. They didn't really know, but then I just came out and said, look, I do wear a bit of concealer or a bit of foundation because it helps me. And honestly, it was never, ever, ever an issue. And it was just like it became part of the routine. And now most of my guys wear it themselves, you know, and they see the power of it. So I think it's that first step, you know, for someone just to try it. And look, this isn't going to be for everyone.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be for everyone. Some people might not agree with it, but all I want to do, there are a lot of guys out there who probably suffer in silence, don't think they can turn. You know, guys go down to the gym every day, they get their hair cut like once a week now, twice every couple of weeks. They do all of that, or they moisturise. Like moisturising isn't going to make you live a day longer, but it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
So all I want to do is maybe give guys a choice who might not try makeup to try it, just to get that confidence out of it.
You know, it's kind of funny because growing up in Birmingham, I wasn't around men having manicures and pedicures. Moving to Dubai, I was like, why are these men having pedis? And you're trying to make this less of a taboo and make it normal, the same way men are taking care of the rest of their body, aren't you?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Look, I've been to Spa a few times and the guys are very, very well groomed and look great. And, you know, there's no difference for me about like getting your hair cut or, you know, shaping up your beard to make it nice and defined or going down the gym or wearing nice clothing. Whatever it is, that's all to express yourself and makes you feel better. So there's always been this bit of a taboo around guys. Okay, you can use moisturizing, go down the gym, do all this stuff, but look, well, if you've got spots or acne, scarring, blemishes, dark under eyes, oh, you can't do anything about that because it's makeup and that's for girls,
yeah,
or for women. So all I want to do is say, well, no, there's no real difference, and maybe it will relate to some guys. Well, yeah, I might try it, and then I promise they'll probably see the benefit from it that I have.
Do you know what the worst thing about this is, Danny? I used to be on TV for years, so I never learned how to do makeup because I always had makeup artists. To this day, I still don't know how to put eyeshadow on properly, and I have a feeling you'll be 10 times better than me.
Do you know what it is as well, right? That's the other thing what we try to do with Warpain is break down the fact that a lot of guys probably think it takes a long time. It's really complicated. Look, I'm not a makeup artist. I haven't been taught makeup at all. I've taught myself.
Yeah.
It can be very easy to apply. It can take 5 minutes. And this is the other thing we try to educate with Warpain. It's a lot simpler than what probably a lot of people would think it is. So it can be part of your routine. And I don't believe there's a real right or wrong on applying makeup, especially when it comes to like a bit of foundation.
Yeah.
You know, just put it on how you feel comfortable. And that's the other thing we try to educate men is that it is really easy to use and can be very effective.
Your brand, is it vegan and cruelty free?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So all of our brand and products are vegan, cruelty free, and that's very important for me. All of the makeup I've formulated myself, and you know, all I've done is create a makeup brand and products that I wanted to use myself personally. And it's just been very lucky that a lot of other guys feel they want to use the same type of products, but I was the audience I was aiming at, if that makes sense. So you know, I just create a brand that I felt I wanted, and it's just been very lucky that other people seem to quite like it, which is amazing.
Well, I think it's amazing because I refuse to wear any powder or makeup that isn't vegan or cruelty free. In this day and age, I don't think we need to go down that route. What do you think a lot of celebrities who probably not into makeup, but they're just starting a makeup brand for the sake of it under their name, and they're not promoting vegan and cruelty free makeup? What do you think about that?
Well, look, I believe anyone, look, just do, they can do what they want to do. All I want to concentrate on is what we try to be as a brand. And that is that we are vegan, cruelty free, you know, looking at sustainability. We're very centered around mental health. We're doing stuff like in our store, there's stuff in there which has never been done around mental health. We've got a barbers in there, which 100% of the revenue is going back to a charity that
amazing.
Teaches barbers how to spot signs of mental health in their clients. So, like what we're doing as a brand is try to do a lot more than just sell products, because I think what you just touched on there, people who just put their name on it just to sell a product.
Yes.
I think you could have maybe done that 10, 15 years ago. Now you have to be so much more as a brand and have a purpose. And I really believe at Warpain we have that.
No, I think it's amazing what you're doing, and it's very brave. And the fact you're coming on the radio talking about it, because it is a cultural thing. Some cultures think it's, men shouldn't be doing that. But I think you are making
it. But that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
As well. Everyone can have, all I believe in is that everyone have their own choice to believe in what they want to believe or agree with it, disagree with it. Like, this isn't going to be for everyone. All I want to do is have a choice. So people have a choice to make,
okay.
Right? And it's down to them. If some people don't agree with it, that's absolutely fine as well. You know, we're not trying to convert everyone to wear makeup. All we're trying to do is give men a choice who might be not suffering in silence, but might feel they might want to try it. But now there's a focused brand out there they can relate to. Maybe they will. But look, it's absolutely fine if people don't want to use it and don't agree with it.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go now because I know you're a busy man. But before you go, I know this brand would work in Dubai. Are you going to open one here?
We've actually just done a partnership with Beauty Online. So we launched with them a couple of months ago. But look, I believe there's a market everywhere for it. And look, Dubai I think could be great for us. So just watch this space.
Okay, Danny, Flawless Danny, thank you so much for joining me last minute, and do stay in touch. And can I wear some of your makeup?
100%.
Yes.
Of course you can. It's not, look, anyone can wear it. It's not just for me.
Amazing. Have a lovely day, Danny. And I really appreciate
Thanks
you coming on. Thanks,
appreciate
Danny.
It.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Okay, now, we were talking to Danny Gray. He's the founder of War Paint. And for those of you who don't know, it's quite brave what he's been doing, but he's doing it to make men feel better, the same way women wear makeup. I mean, I know a lot of women out there will not leave the house until they've got makeup on. I'm quite a natural person, and also I'm quite lazy with makeup. I can't be bothered to put it on every day, so that's my excuse. But Danny actually put War Paint towards Shark Tank. If ever, any of you watch Shark Tank, it's kind of like Dragon's Den, but competitor. And if you didn't see the episode, here's what the judges said about his brand.
20 years ago, I got bullied in middle school due to my appearance. That's affected me massively every day ever since. I started using my sister's makeup growing up to help me build back up that confidence, and it did just that. One thing I couldn't find, though, was a brand that I felt related to me as a man. So what I decided to do was create my own brand.
I think you've done a cracking job so far.
Thank you.
Because you're right. There's a lot of men who still feel really uncomfortable about it all, you know, that sort of girl stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and what you've done here is you've presented it in a really accessible way.
I came into the Den to look for other young entrepreneurs who were trailblazing and were about to go on an exciting journey, and one that I'd been on and was eager to go on again.
Yeah.
And that's what I see in front of me.
Thank you.
So I would love to work with you. My offer is all of the money, but 20% stake in the business.
Wow. So that was Danny Gray, the founder of War Paint. He's just opened the first makeup store in London for men. Obviously, women can wear it. The fact also that it's vegan and cruelty-free, which I only wear. I don't think we ever need to wear anything that's using animals anymore. We're in that stage of our lives now that we don't need to. We have evolved. But we did ask a few men out there if they would wear makeup. Now, if it's something that you would consider or you have done or you do it just to make yourself feel better, we're not talking about full makeup. It could be a little bit of powder, a little bit of foundation, if you've got some blemishes. Sometimes people wear eyeliner. And also women, what do you think about men wearing just a little bit of makeup? And if you look at TV, a lot of men have to wear it because of the shine on the lights and just look smoother on TV. So we asked a few people. One of the people I asked was Mark Lloyd himself.
I don't think it's for me. I've never tried it. I've seen it around, and I think I don't even know what to do with it. So I'm quite happy with the way I am without the added attraction of makeup, if that's okay.
I really need to put some makeup on Mark because I just think it would transform him. 10 years younger he'd look. He just has no idea. All right, next we have Zagum. Let's see what he says. Would he wear makeup?
I do see more and more guys wearing makeup, and it might be a growing industry. However, personally, I take pride in getting ready in a few minutes, and I'm not really sure if I'm able to make that commitment of putting makeup on every morning.
Yeah, I know Zagum, and the fact that it takes him a few minutes to get ready, you can tell. I can tell you that much now. So he wouldn't have the patience to wear makeup. Okay, let's see what Sandeep has to say about men wearing makeup.
I don't wear makeup, but I've done once when I was doing a bit of a ramp walk. So they wanted to doll me up a bit. I'm sure there are a lot of people who would actually end up using it, depending the kind of scars or, you know, stuff they want to hide and, you know, things like that. So it might work to a certain extent, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Sandeep. Kareem?
I've never been a fan of makeup, even on women. I feel like it puts a lot of pressure on them. I don't love it when my daughter starts getting into makeup. So I really am not excited about a whole marketing theme being created around men's makeup as well.
You see, that's kind of interesting because I do know that a lot of men don't like women wearing a lot of makeup. Zena, what do you think? Does your husband like it when you wear a lot of heavy makeup?
Don't think he notices, as long as I've got a face.
Oh my goodness, he's got
you know
to that
how
stage
some
in
men
your marriage.
Are, yeah, they're so oblivious. They don't know that you just came from the salon and had a haircut.
Yeah, I know.
Had your nails done, you've got a different nail polish. So he doesn't care, he doesn't mind. But I do know a lot of guys, you know, my guy friends who, there's a girl that walks past them and they go, she wears a lot of makeup.
Yes. And you know what? I actually think about this with men. If I was a man and there was a lady wearing a lot of makeup, I would not want to kiss her on the cheek for the simple reason I don't want those chemicals in my mouth.
Okay, so yeah, we feel the same, but I don't want to ruin their makeup because it's such a work of art. I've got lots of friends who are makeup artists and it takes ages to create such a face, right? But hey, I use makeup all the time. Respect to those who know how to do their makeup. I know we both struggle.
Well, I do know a friend, actually. He said to me he went out for dinner once many, many years ago with a young lady, a very nice lady. He said we met a week later during the daytime. He didn't even recognize her because she wasn't wearing makeup. That is scary.
home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
So joining me now is a flight attendant who is also the owner of Pavanito, which actually supplies cosmetics to men and women. Welcome to the show, Pavanito. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this. Now, tell me briefly a little bit about your background and how Pavanito came about, because you are also a flight attendant, so you've got like many jobs.
Yeah, I still fly as a flight purser with a local airline here, and I'm a biochemist who partly lived between Dubai and England and India. I was born here, raised here partly before I moved to UK, and so the flying job just came along. Pavanito was established here in Dubai in 2013. Is when I came back, I joined the airline. I saw the gap in the market of natural cosmetics because they had people doing natural skincare, but things were not properly formulated or they were not packaged. The presentation was not right. And so we saw a gap in the market and we established the line. It's been over 7 years, and yeah, we sell out of a city store as well as online. I do custom to order a lot, as well as I take white labeling contracts, so I could formulate for a different company altogether if they came on board as well.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the cosmetics you do, because I know it's unisex, and today we're talking mm-hmm. about men wearing makeup. Do a mm-hmm. lot of men use a lot of the cosmetics, whether it's face scrubs you have, hair care there, do they use it?
Yes, they do. So skincare for men has been redefined in the last 10 or 15 years, I should say. It's where the whole metropolitan man image sort of has been redefined. And so more and more men we saw were sort of questioning skincare routines of what's for men. I think a lot of that was just due to conditioning, because you've heard that logic that says blue for boys and pink for yeah. girls. That dialogue, that narrative sort of started changing in the last 10, 15 years. I also think the corporate world in the last 10, 15 years changed. And when you think of places like Dubai, where aesthetically everything is so pretty, so a lot of emphasis is given to image. And now more and more men are sort of more aware of the way they present themselves, the way they look, the way their skin and hair looks. And a whole office look, as we now see, has been developed.
So my niece, about a year ago, she went crazy because she said, oh, there's a makeup artist coming to the UK and she wants to go and see him. It was a man. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I looked online and there are so many male makeup artists. I had one when I was on TV. And I have to say, he was better than the female makeup artist. So what do you think about like men, more and more men wearing makeup and applying it? Even if it's a little bit of eyeliner, a little bit of a powder, it doesn't have to be a full face.
So traditionally, makeup was reserved, as far as men are concerned, for artists, celebrities, and sort of TV personalities and models and anything that basically had to come in front of the camera and theater and that, so on. There's a brand which, a US-based brand, which a few years ago came up with a range that was called HD range, high definition range. And this makeup was the kind of makeup that you can't see on the camera. It's not visible to the naked eye. It blends in so well. Like I said, the narrative of men taking care of their skin, redefining their image, all that has changed in the last 10, 15 years. More and more sort of men started experimenting with makeup. So my profession, for instance, where looks are so important, where the whole grooming factor is so important, where your presentation is so important, we were introduced to makeup. As far as we are concerned, flight attendants, I flew for Indian Airlines for almost over a decade. So for us, it was not uncommon back in the days to sort of go to work and apply that very thin layer of foundation. Mm-hmm. Of course, there was a comprehensive training given for it. You were told where to draw the line. One of the simplest way of introducing makeup and foundation in particular, because that's the first thing that is introduced, the makeup line for men, was to mix colors or pigments with moisturizers or sunscreen. And so you've got several brands in Booth Pharmacy, where in Booths you can find these SPFs that are now tinted. Now, that's not necessarily makeup, because that SPF or moisturizer now has a pigment in it, which is good for girls as well as for guys. And in the end of the day, it just depends on why you're applying it. So you would be applying an eyeliner, but that's if you were an actor. But in real life, if you were a boy or a man, you would mostly be using foundations and powders just to sort of keep the look fresh throughout the day. And that also depends on what your profession demands. And some people just do it because they like it.
As women, basically, you know, if we feel like, oh, our face is a bit dull today, I'm just going to put some powder, a little bit of blusher, and it just it freshens us up. Have you come across men who do that just to make themselves feel a little bit good if they don't?
Yes, absolutely. Oh. Yes. I have friends who work in banking and, you know, where the job takes a toll on your health, on your sleep, and your working hours are long and you've got meetings scheduled. And there are days, you know, as much as for girls, it's for boys where you wake up and you can have a bad skin day and you can have a bad hair day. And yes, I have friends who would wake up and not want to show their sort of puffy eyes or their dark circles, and they've got really an important meeting to attend, and a little bit of touch up is not such a hoo-ha thing anymore.
No, it's not.
That whole culture is sort of changing, and the old narrative sort of is fading. Also because now there is more knowledge and more sort of training available, more awareness available on how to do it and how not to overdo it.
So basically now for women, we just need to find a husband where we share the same color in foundation, and then it'll be a lot cheaper for us to share each other's makeup, right?
Who knows? I mean, you do have husbands who are stealing moisturizers from their wives' dressing tables.
That's
and so
true.
She is running out of that bottle very, very fast. It's all about personal preferences, and so if men just took some of their makeup and applied for functional reasons, as long as it's not offending, if it's not being overdone, if it's not been done for the wrong reasons, and it's not overall OTT.
Okay, that's amazing. Pavanito, I thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, then take care.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Well, fortunately, Nathan Taylor from Donata isn't half asleep. He's with me. How are you doing, Nathan?
I'm very good, thanks, Pranam. How are you?
I'm very good. Now, I'm really looking forward to talking to you. I am so dying to get away. I haven't had a break since COVID. I've cancelled my UK flight 5 times, Nathan. So you have to give me some good news and everyone else out there. If you guys want to ask Nathan anything, we're talking about travel. Where can you go? Do you need to quarantine? Do you need a vaccine? He's here to update us on all the latest rules and regulations. You can text us on 4001. You can also contact us on the Dubai Eye app or call 0487155500. So Nathan, let's start with somewhere. Where can you travel if you have 3 days only and you want to do something direct from Dubai or the UAE?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the great things about living in this part of the world is we have so many amazing destinations that are so close.
Yeah.
You know, one that springs to mind, obviously, it's been our most popular destination over the summer, and that's the Maldives. You know, as you know, it's only 4 hours away.
Mm.
And they've had really, really easy to follow guidelines from the get-go. They opened in July last year, and it's been very easy for customers to get in and out since then. So you just need a PCR test taken 72 hours prior to departure.
Right.
And then they have a self-declaration form that you fill out before you go. And then you get a QR code, and that's all you need to get in to the Maldives. So it's absolutely perfect for a weekend away.
Do you think it's been pretty good, the Maldives, only because they are very separate islands? There's only a few people on them, so people aren't mixing as much. So it's been a bit easier to travel there and stay there?
Yeah, definitely. I think at the beginning of the pandemic, it was the perfect destination to go because you could really isolate yourself. You know, this was before the vaccination program came into play as well. So we had a lot of popularity around the Maldives, you know, throughout all of last year, and that's continued into this year. And some of the deals that we have are just absolutely phenomenal. So it's a really great time to go to the Maldives right now.
It is. Okay. What kind of deals do we have? Do you have any exclusive ones for us?
Yeah, well, the hottest deal we've got at the moment, we've got three nights at the 4-star Summer Island Maldives Resort.
Mm.
We've got a garden room there on all-inclusive, so you don't need to worry about anything, all your meals, all your beverages, return speedboat transfers and return economy class flights for 4,775 dirhams per person.
That's not bad. Here's the thing, right? I would jump on a plane tomorrow and go to the Maldives because I love that place. My issue is this. Let's say if I go, suddenly something changes and they're like, okay, well, Maldives is now on the amber list or the red list. I'm stuck there. would I be paying the bills?
Well, the best part is we've got a travel insurance policy right now that covers you for all of your COVID woes. So, you know, if something like that was to happen, then you would absolutely be covered.
Oh, really?
By Donata Travel, absolutely.
So I can stay in the top hotel on a 5-star luxury resort, Maldives, and you'll cover me, right, Nathan? I'm just checking, because if that's the case, I'm on a flight in September, I'm telling you right now.
Of course, but look, the great bit of news and to put everybody's, you know, minds at ease, particularly with the Maldives, is, you know, the destination has been open to us for nearly 18 months. So, you know, it's a great destination. It's been very, very stable. So, you know, the chances of something like that happening are pretty slim. You know, all of the resorts have testing facilities in-house.
Okay.
So it's very easy to get your PCR test, you know, to come back to Dubai. They've just got a really great setup there at the moment. And yeah, it's just an absolutely beautiful part of the world.
But I also think for the Maldives, it's so important because they rely so much on tourism. If they didn't have that, they'd be in a mess, real mess, right? So I'm really glad that they're doing their best so that people can go there. That's where Helen is right now, actually. She's enjoying herself. Okay, so let's go to Baku. Tell me, I've never been there. What's that like?
Baku is another brilliant destination, very, very different from the Maldives, obviously. You know, it's a hustling, bustling city, but it's absolutely fantastic. And Azerbaijan is open to vaccinated travellers as well, so it's a great spot to go to if you've had the jab. They accept all vaccines as well, so Sinopharm, Pfizer, Moderna, all of those are all covered. Mm. The only little thing to remember is that you do still need to have a PCR test, even if you're vaccinated, before you arrive into Azerbaijan. But apart from that, it's open. It's very, very close. And it's a fantastic city. So, yeah, I'd highly recommend going to Baku in Azerbaijan.
How close is it on a flight?
It's just on 3 hours.
3 hours. Okay.
Yeah, so nice and close.
I think it doesn't, even if you do have the vaccine, they are still asking everybody before boarding and after boarding to take a PCR test. That's just the norm everywhere, right?
Yeah, most places. This is, I guess, where it gets not complicated, but where customers can find it quite confusing. Mm. We've been able to put all that information together on our website, and we've also trained all of our amazing travel experts in store.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anyone does have any questions about what they need to do before they go, what vaccines are accepted, or, you know, if there's a quarantine or curfews, anything like that, we've got all the answers on donatatravel.com or our travel experts in store.
Okay, now Georgia, I remember I never heard about Georgia before, and someone came up to me about, I don't know, 9-10 years ago in Dubai, and said, from the travel agency in Georgia, and said, look, would you like to go? And I was like, where is that? But it's massive now. So many people go there. Why is that from Dubai?
I think it really is a real massive change of scenery. You know, we're very lucky to live where we live, but Georgia for me is just so dramatic in the landscapes that it offers. It's got a great town, you know, Tbilisi, the capital city there is really, really, it's got a great vibe about it. Very young city, lots of really groovy restaurants and things like that. But you know, once you're out and particularly up in the mountains, it's just absolutely stunning. And, yeah, I think that's why people are going. It's beautiful weather. It's incredible food. And, you know, I think you really are the envy of your mates on Instagram if you've been to Georgia, because you can't take a bad photo there.
Where is it positioned exactly, for those who don't know?
Yeah, so it's in the Caucasus. So it's right near Azerbaijan. So Azerbaijan, Armenia and Georgia sort of all neighbour each other in all around the Black Sea. So, yeah, it's quite close, very easy to get to, direct flights just about every day from Dubai. Yeah, it's right on our doorstep and it's absolutely beautiful. I was there in May of this year,
yeah,
and we just had an absolutely fantastic time. So I highly recommend it.
And what are the people like?
Fantastic. They're lovely. You know, they really want to welcome you in. They're very proud of their culture. They want to show off their food, which, you know, I'm a bit of a foodie. So the food in Georgia was just phenomenal.
Okay, I'm hungry. Let's stop there right now. Okay. So, okay, let's talk about if you want to go a little bit longer, let's say for a week. I've had a lot of friends go in the past 2 weeks, you name it, to Greece, Santorini or Spain. And I'm like, okay, that's great. So let's talk about Spain.
Yeah, Spain. So not to rub it in, I know you said you haven't been on a holiday for a while.
But, you will be sorting that out for me after this show.
Not a problem. I just got back from Spain, so I spent the last e-break in Spain myself. And
whereabouts?
I was in Andalusia, so nice. We flew into Madrid and then went down south, Granada, Cordoba.
Yeah,
it was just beautiful and so nice to be back, you know, on the European continent again.
It's the best time to go in the summer in Europe, isn't it? I'm missing it.
It was absolutely delightful. And, you know, it was quite hot, but we also had, you know, those beautiful, cool European breezes that you get in the evenings and the mornings. So, yeah, it was absolutely top notch.
That's amazing. And what about any good deals? Do we have any there?
We sure do. So if you're thinking about going to Spain and spending a little bit longer over there, I would highly recommend our 8-day self-drive Leisurely Spain itinerary. Mm. It takes you to Madrid for 3 nights, Valencia for 2 nights, and then finishing in Barcelona for 3 nights. So three, you know, just magical cities there in Spain. We've got all your accommodation sorted, all in centrally located 4-star hotels. Got car hire for the full 8 days and return economy airfares. It's only going to cost you $5,065 per adult, and you can take the kids along for $3,245 per child as long as they're under 12.
How did you feel walking around Spain? Were people wearing masks? What was the situation there?
Yeah, they absolutely were. COVID protocols were definitely in place. It was really easy to get into, to be honest. We just filled out a declaration form online where they ask for your vaccination status. And then we got a QR code and they just scanned that on arrival when they checked our passports. So once that was done, we were in the country. Everyone was wearing masks. There was social distancing in place. It was fantastic.
You know, it's funny because the thought of travel, I used to travel every month from England when we used to have cheap flights to Europe. And I think I did 25 trips in 2 years because I love traveling. Now I look back, I think, wow, we took so much for granted just to pop on a plane and go. This has really made us think about really appreciating the fact that you can travel and see other cultures, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm Australian, if you can tell. Yeah. And, you know, travel's a massive part of our culture too. And you know, I think it really, you know, really made everyone realize just how much we love to travel. You know, taking almost, you know, a few months where we weren't allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, now that demand is really, really there. And we've got so many beautiful destinations that are open throughout the world right now. And you know, it's great to go back to these places and really, you know, help revive the tourism industry, which, like you said before, it's taken a big hit over this time. And it's just really nice to see that, you know, that there is a way forward, there is a way back. And you know, we can be a part of that as well.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
So, Nathan, I've had a text in. It says, what is the procedure for a person having recovered from COVID to be able to travel? There isn't a huge amount of information about to go about as post-COVID recoverers because we can still test positive. What do you say to that?
Yeah, there is a few destinations now starting to allow people who have recovered from COVID in the last 6 months, and they're allowed to travel in and out, you know, regardless of their vaccination status. They're, you know, usually without the need for a PCR test as well. So as long as you're in that 6 month period, there is a few destinations on offer. To give you an example, Finland, which has just literally just opened to us in the last sort of 24 hours, they're accepting anyone who's recovered from COVID-19. In the last 6 months. So again, we do have all of that information on our website on donatatravel.com. So, you know, if there is a specific destination that that anyone has in mind, then we've made sure we've covered that information off on the on all of our documents as well.
Okay, well, Zina has a bit of a story. She's just come back from Thailand and she said they've created a sandbox. Zina, share your experience. What was it like traveling there?
Yeah, so Thailand, Phuket is the first island, the first place in Thailand that has opened up to tourists, and I felt very safe once there, but the process to get into the country, they've got a special set of requirements as part of their hashtag Phuket Sandbox program.
What is the sandbox program you're talking about? Tell us about that.
So it's basically, as I said, it's the first place in Thailand that's welcoming tourists. So they have a special set of requirements for those getting into the country through Phuket Airport. And you had to apply online. And I learned this from Emily Jenkins, Nathan's colleague at Denata, actually. Okay. And once you've got, you've submitted all those documents, you will now get a certificate of entry. So basically, without that piece of paper and all the other documents, you can't be accepted into the country. And I had COVID in the past, but they didn't really ask me about that. I just had to show them that at that time I tested negative and that I had my vaccination.
I know you were a bit stressed leaving because you had to do all this paperwork and everything, but when you look back on it, you came back a week ago. Was it worth it?
Totally worth it, especially if you're a family, because it's pretty quiet, so none of the party islands are accessible, no gatherings allowed, right? So basically, you just chill in the resort and go around, have a few massages, check out a few restaurants, and it's just nice to be able to get out of the country after a long time.
Okay, so Zina had a good experience to Thailand. Now, Nathan, we've had another text. Someone has said, can I travel to the Netherlands with the Sinopharm?
Ooh, can you travel to the Netherlands with the Sinopharm? Let me take about 3 or 4 minutes on that one. I'll get that information for you. I don't have it quite on hand, but I'll be able to find that information for you out very, very shortly.
No problem. We'll find out about that. So, okay, let's look at some other places. Now, we've just come from Spain, or should I say you've just come from Spain. What about Switzerland?
Switzerland is open for us again. So, and they're accepting all vaccinations as well. So, you know, any vaccine that's been approved by the World Health Organization is accepted by Switzerland. Now, Switzerland is so, so popular, particularly from this region. Again, similar to Georgia, you know, it's so, so different, beautiful, you know, snow-capped mountains and just very dramatic scenery. So it really is like one of those picture perfect destinations. And I think that, you know, we've already seen so much popularity towards Switzerland over the last couple of weeks. So I'm sure that's only going to continue. But, you know, we've also got an incredible offer here with Switzerland. And when you think Switzerland, you obviously think about the incredible rail trips that you can do around there.
Yeah, I've done
and
that.
We've got an,
so beautiful.
And we've got an 8-day. It's so nice. And honestly, it is real bucket list type stuff when you're on the trains over there.
It's very chick flick hallmark stuff, isn't it, the views? That's how I would sell it like that.
I'd say stunning, but sure, let's go with yours. I think yours is better. But we've got an 8-day Highlights of Switzerland rail package. This is 2 nights in Lucerne, Zermatt and Interlaken and 1 night in St. Moritz. It covers all of your rail journeys, including the iconic, you know, Jungfrau, the Glacier Express, and the Pilatus Rail. And you get all of this with return economy class flights with Emirates for 9,445 dirhams per adult. And again, if you want to take the kids, it's 6,550 per child.
Okay, so I'm just going to finish off. I know there's quite a few other destinations. We're running out of time. What about people with staycations? Because that's a big thing. That's something I want to do soon. Where would you recommend? Any good deals and any places that you think are really good to go to right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got two absolutely cracking offers for staycations at the moment. One is the Fairmont Fujairah.
Yeah.
We've got the beautiful 5-star Fairmont Fujairah. We've got breakfast included, kids stay free, 20% off food and bev, and that is 220 dirhams per person per night. So very, very good. And then the second one is easily, it was our most popular hotel last summer, and they've come back with another amazing offer for this summer, and that is the Hilton Ras Al Khaimah Beach Resort. We've got there staying in a resort room with breakfast and dinner included every single day for 385 dirham per person per night. And you can upgrade to all-inclusive for an extra 150 dirhams per person.
Okay, Nathan, I'm going to get your phone number because now that you've told me I can travel to the Maldives and you will cover my costs if I get stuck there, I'm really tempted to go now. I seriously am. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Nathan.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking to you about the Maldives.
Yes, take care.
home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
We've also been talking about men and makeup. Not that I'm linking the two together, but I now have our Dubai-based tech editor, Danesh, from Dan Talks. You can follow him on Instagram. Hi, Danesh, how are you?
I'm well, Poonam. How are you?
I'm going to ask you a question, Danesh. Have you or would you ever wear makeup? Just a bit of light blusher, powder.
I have.
You have?
But for work, for shoots and stuff like that. Actually, full-blown makeup was just recently for a shoot I had, and I was extremely sad because that I just couldn't look like that again. And I was like, oh no, I have crow's feet, my skin's bad. And I was like, yeah. So I was listening to your interview earlier and I was like, okay, this is something I need to look into.
Yeah, let's go shopping together to his store, yeah? I think he said he's going to bring it over here to Dubai, and I know somewhere where they sell it. I just got a message. So if you're feeling that, I can help you pick out some makeup, Danesh, anytime you like.
Let's do it. Okay. Let's do it.
I love the fact that you've admitted that. That is so good of you. I really like that. Now, you are a techie person and I am so bad. So this is going to have to be a very basic idiot's guide to tech and gadgets, because let me tell you how bad I am. I only just found out, Danesh, that WhatsApp, you can speed up the messages when you're listening back to them. How long has it been around?
It's a relatively new feature, so you're not to be blamed.
How long has it been around? How's new?
I think just a few months.
I'm still a little bit slow there because the message was playing. I was like, oh my God, there's something wrong with my phone. My friend sounds like Mickey Mouse. And the IT guy goes, no, it's on speed mode. I was like, when did that happen? So I'm so glad you're here. You know, I think I'm going to learn a lot today. So let's start off with something. Creating your own emoji. I love this. Can we do this?
So it's a much more extensive process than I ever thought. I thought that it was more accessible, but I can't believe I'm going to say these words, but there is an emoji subcommittee.
This is getting so complicated already.
Which has all the big wigs from Google and Microsoft, Apple, Huawei, all together.
So it's basically an emoji parliament where they make decisions.
Yes. And the more I think about it, I imagined exactly how you said, I imagined parliament, but with emojis being discussed, and I think that definitely should be televised. It's a live show right there to be watched.
I would love that job. I think it'd be so much, so creatively fun.
Right? Can you imagine spending a month deciding if the emoji is smiling too much?
What would you have, Danesh?
I don't know. I hate to agree to this, but I actually hate chatting. Even though I'm a techie person, even though all that, I'm the guy who sends voice notes and picks up the phone and calls. So
I send voice notes. I'm the same.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, we're part of a club that's not really liked.
I don't care. I like the sound of my voice and so should they. That's why we're on the radio right now, okay? So listen, I asked Zina if she could create an emoji, what would she create? And she said, I would like an emoji that says, can you please rub my feet? Right? I said, if I had an emoji, it would be very diplomatic and it would be an emoji saying, are you single? And if they say yes, I would send them Zena's emoji saying, can you now rub my feet?
As long as it works. As long as communication takes place.
It's all about communication. It's all in the facial expressions. I don't know what emoji would be, are you single? I really don't know what that would look like at all.
Well, apparently there is one right now, but I can't really say that on the radio, can I?
Okay, we'll talk after. Okay, now I checked out your Instagram because we've never spoken to before and I wanted to see what kind of tech guru you were. You can follow on Instagram at Dan Talks, that's D-A-N Talks. And I saw you showing, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, this LG TV that cost about $90,000. Why? Danesh, why?
Well, that's the LG R OLED, and R standing for rollable. It's an amazing piece of technology. And I mean this when I say this. I don't know if the world needs it, but it is an amazing piece of technology. just like, just imagine a TV that rolls up on the foot of your bed or something like that. But obviously it's meant for an extremely elite class. Mm. It takes a pre-reservation and it takes 12 to 15 weeks to get delivered because it's custom made. Mm. But on the other hand, which better market for it to exist in than the UAE's market, right?
Well, here's the thing. I watched it come up on your Instagram page. I felt like I was watching a flower bloom. It was like taking ages. I'm like, seriously? I don't have that kind of attention to wait for my TV. It's taking longer to come up than the actual show I'm watching. How long did it take to bloom?
I think it takes about 7 seconds or something on those
we
lines.
We have no attention. Yeah. I could do so much in 7 seconds.
But that's the thing, right? It's first generation, right? I always say this about such technology. Mm. While it's crazy in the first time you see it,
yeah.
Imagine someone who has a small apartment, and let's say a few years from now when this TV is in the 5,000-6,000 range, if it ever comes to that point, it would be amazing to have. It would be a space saver, and it would be looked at very differently from a giant piece of luxury, which it is right now. Like, I mean, there are cars that are not that expensive right now.
Okay, let's talk about what gadgets are out there that are coming to the market that you've tested or you'd like to see to come out on the market. I have a few, but I'll let you go first.
Okay. If there were a piece of tech, now are we talking concepts or something that I know is coming out?
Anything, both. Let's do both.
Okay, so if it were a concept, I've said this for years, there's one chore I hate in the house more than anything else in the world, and that's laundry.
I
cannot deal with how many steps it is from dirty clothes to clean clothes.
Yes, I have a cure for that. It's called a washing machine. It's been around for many, many years. Have you tried it?
Yeah, no. But that's the thing, right? It's segregate, wash, dry, fold. No. I want something where I just throw everything in and it comes out folded and ready for me. I know this exists, by the way.
Yeah, it does. It's called it's called a mom. A mom can do that for you. you just need to hire a mom.
I need this to go away from moms as well. I need that stereotype also to disappear.
I think you need a robot, a laundry robot.
Yeah, yeah. If vacuums can become robots,
true.
I think.
What do you think of these robot vacuums? My friend's got one, and it's like a little dog. It just goes around the house. Are they any good?
I love it. Mine's right there, and I named him. He's called Dustin Timberlake. I love him.
I love it. I love the name. That's awesome.
I love him. He's the best. I mean, he saves time for me. He does his job, and sometimes he gets confused and bangs into things.
Aww.
But that's part and parcel. I love robot vacuums. They're so affordable now.
Oh, they are.
So I think that because the thing is, robot vacuums will not really clean the house the way you would, like if you went with a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
But they do the daily stuff and give your house a nice outlook. And like, mine is a dual vacuum and mop, so it does both. So I'm sorted.
Oh, I love the fact he's called Justin Timberlake. That's amazing. Okay, so I have a gadget that I would like, and I just think it's good for men generally, especially for husbands or whatever. Something that lets you know if your wife or girlfriend is in a good mood today, because when she says she is fine, she ain't fine. And I think it would save men a lot of hassle. What do you think?
I think that in such cases, technology should be stayed away from, because if after the technology you got it wrong, peace out.
Yeah, if there's a short circuit in that and you've got it wrong, God help you. Okay, what have you tested recently that's coming out that we should look out for?
So there's the one of the things that I'm actually just finishing up my review for was Apple's new iPads.
Mm-hmm.
They come with Apple's insane M1 processors, and they're absolutely, absolutely amazing. But they've been in the market for a while. That being said, next week Samsung launches their new foldables. So you've got the Flip, which is I know only you can see this, but basically it's a regular smartphone that flips down like your old school.
Yeah, that was an old school thing. I had that back in the day. Why are they coming back again? Because they're getting bored of creating new styles.
No, it's already been there for 2 years now. Well done, Poonam.
I'm so late with this, Dinesh.
But foldables are now two types. So one is clamshell, where they open up just and become a regular smartphone, yeah. but there's also regular sized ones that open up as tablets, and that's the Samsung Fold. Now, both the Fold and the Flip are coming out next week, and I'm super excited for them.
Okay. Well, that should be interesting.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
So, Dinesh, I have a question someone's texted in. They're saying, can you please explain to me how the TikTok algorithm, I don't even know how to say that word, works and why people get millions of followers there and only thousands on Insta? I think it's all a fix, this social media. Some make amazing video content and nothing happens, and some just look in the camera and that's it. They're viral.
So I think it's a mix of various things, and this is a very, very large topic, but I'll focus on one particular aspect of TikTok versus Instagram.
Okay.
Instagram filters from you. So you follow people, you watch their content, and it filters accordingly. And then there is the explore page, but not many people really visit Instagram and say, okay, let me go to the explore page. They want to check the people they're following. TikTok, on the other hand, is the exact other way, where everything is the explore page. The first time you open the app, it's an explore page. When you, as a user, open it, it's the explore page. So it just keeps throwing content your way.
Mm.
Another advantage TikTok has, it's one type of content, just one, videos, vertical format, that's it.
True.
There is no time to think. You just swipe, and you keep going, and everything is there, and the interactions are so simple, just like, follow, everything is right there. Whereas Instagram has a lot more steps involved. And let's just say Instagram came or was born from a very different place, and it's now adapting.
Mm.
Whereas TikTok was born for this purpose. And therefore, the more chances people have to get onto someone's For You page, the more chances they get liked. And Instagram, basically, it's a reward system, right? You put up content, it gets liked, it gets followed, it gets viewed. They show it to more people, and so on and so forth. So it's, while there is a huge factor here about the kind of content created, it's the fact that it's also quick and you're not allowed to think too much. Like, I find myself on TikTok so many times and I'm like, where did 30 minutes just go by? But there you are, right? You've just been going. And because the algorithm is so good, it shows you exactly what you want to watch and in that point of time.
You know, somebody told me here at the station, the digital team, they said when you post a Reels, choose what's one of the most popular songs because then it will get more views, like as in the trending songs. Is that true?
Yep. So as per my little knowledge on the matter, yes, it is true in the sense that those songs are popular for a reason, but those songs are popular for a particular trend in most cases, right? So there was this track that got really popular and actually quite controversial recently because of its lyrics, but it got popular primarily for fashion videos.
Yeah.
So if you had a fashion video and you popped that track on, in the first second, the user knew what they were going to see.
Yeah.
And that's the reason they say that use more popular tracks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But if I were to put, let's say, a techie video and use that track, yes. Would a few more people see it? Yes. But would they be happy about seeing the video? Most probably not, because they were actually interested in fashion videos. So that's something I don't actually do that often.
Okay. So what else have you tested, or what are you excited about?
That's coming up?
Yes.
So yesterday, there's a brand new brand called Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's called Nothing. It's launched by the ex co-founder of OnePlus, the brand of phones. He left the brand, and this year he's launched Nothing. Now, what Nothing has done is the first product they've launched is earbuds, right? Your headphones, and what they've done is they've tried to maintain as many features as possible, keep it affordable, but they have revamped the way it looks. So it's got like a transparent case with a very different finish, a whole different tech style. From a design element, it's very, very, I mean, it's making me insanely curious. So that's something I'm very excited to check out. But like most brands, it'll most probably launch in larger markets before we get to see it over here.
That's a bit of, have they spelled it Nothing?
Yep, Nothing.
What an unusual name. Is there a reason behind that name?
So, So as for what I know, they've just tried to keep it very, very simple because nothing is the name. And now, for example, the earbuds, instead of having like a name, like how the AirPods are the AirPods, yeah, these are just called ear brackets one. That's it. It's simple. So I think I'm not sure how far the naming scheme will go, but it's always good when a brand tries something new. And if it sticks, you never know. You have something that might become the sort of norm.
Okay. Do you get excited testing all these gadgets? Do you just live for this every day?
Oh, my God, yes. My partner is infuriated because right now I have 6 vacuum cleaners at home, one newer than the other. And she is like, we live in a one-bedroom apartment. Why are you doing this to me? But
what you need now? You need my gadget. You can tell, is she in good mood with you today or not? This is the gadget you need right now, Dinesh. Okay.
Done deal. As soon as you have it, I'm the first buyer.
Yeah. Well, it's been amazing talking to you. I mean, there's loads more things I can ask you about, but I know we're running out of time. So just keep me posted and I'll be following you. You can follow him at Dan Talks. That's D-A-A-N Talks. And he's posting the latest gadget. Dinesh, it has been a pleasure. And can you do me a favor?
Thank you very much.
Give my love.
Yes.
Give my love to Dustin Timberlake.
Will do. Thank you very much.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Afternoons with Helen Farmer is live every weekday from 2 to 5pm.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.